I hate snakes. There's very few things, if anything, in the world I hate more than a snake. Maybe you like them. Maybe you raise them. Maybe you hold them and play with them. If he's close, he has invaded my territory. I don't care what I can find, he's dead. I read a story recently about some people in California, and maybe this is the reason the story was so unusual, because of where they lived. And that is that this pet store owner, a python gets loose. Maybe you heard about it, read about it, or whatever. This python gets loose and wraps itself around that owner. Now I'm thinking, if I'm dealing with some kind of 10 or 12 foot python, and it's trying to take care of me, that police officer or anybody has every right to put that snake out of its misery and give me my life back. But that pet store owner, because of the value of that snake, when the police officer was summoned into rescue, made that officer stick his fist in its throat because they did not want to destroy the snake. Now, that story may not seem unusual to you, but I'm thinking a police officer standing there with a 9mm automatic, there's no way this hand is going in that snake's mouth when I've got an automatic right here on my side. They can turn it into insurance or do whatever they want to reclaim the money, but there's no way this is going in that snake's mouth. But as I thought about that python, and I thought about the intent of the python and the strategy of the python, how the python works, as it begins to wrap itself around the prey, that a python has the ability to almost become so light that you don't feel it as it begins to wrap itself around you. That only until it gets to a point to where it feels that it can subdue the prey does the python then begin to squeeze. Now that's amazing to me, that a 10 or 12 foot snake can even get within the same room as me and me not know about it. And so as the python begins to move itself around its prey and encircle its prey, then it begins to squeeze its prey. That's why that police officer was willing, I'm sure with a lot of coaxing from the store owner, to put his fist in its mouth, because it's not going to bite. It's going to squeeze the life out of the prey. Sometimes the devil attacks us like a viper. When Paul was by the fire and that viper jumps out, sometimes the devil, he strikes quick. But more times than not, he comes in the spirit of a python. He begins to wrap himself around us. And all of a sudden, we feel this pressure from the enemy. And then we look and see, how did he get so close to us? Or we'll hear someone say, how did I get where I'm at right now? How did this happen? Why did not alarm bells go off? I've been sitting in services for months or weeks, and how did the devil get such a stronghold on my life? And all of a sudden we feel that pressure began to be placed upon us. Matter of fact, Lydia in Acts chapter number 16, that same word there, when she had a spirit of divination, that is the same word, pythos in the Greek. The spirit of a python. That's how the devil was able to cause her to be so possessed, because he begins to wrap himself around a person. Day number one, they could probably get free. Day number three, four, they could probably shake loose. But after a indefinite amount of a lifestyle, before long, they're possessed by the spirit of that python. They feel as that snake begins to press in upon them. And what's amazing to me about a python, no matter how big and strong, some of those pythons are 14, 16 feet. You've seen them in the zoo. Some of them weigh hundreds of pounds, and they begin to squeeze their prey, but they never break the bone structure of their prey. They never just squeeze it till the bones break. What they do, they cut off the airflow. They cut off the breath. And so as they began to squeeze their prey, and you take that deep breath and try to fight back and fight back and fight back and fight back and fight back against that python, at some point you've got to relax. And when you relax, and that oxygen leaves your body, and all of a sudden that python feels more room, he takes a stronger grip. And then you feel it again. And you fight with everything and fight and fight and fight and try to get more oxygen and more breath in your body. But with the strength of that python, he restricts you from filling up your lungs with oxygen. He restricts the airflow. And then at some point in time, it's a more shallow breath. You relax again. And then with a tenacious, untiring desire, he gets a stronger hold and a stronger hold and a stronger hold. I was praying about that recently. The Bible tells us that the end time church would have a form of godliness. Just like that python, as that python surrounds its prey and begins to squeeze, but it does not break the bone structure. The devil has been so smart. The devil has been so wise that he did not try to break the structure of the church. He did not try, amen, to stop us from having positions and structure inside the church. He didn't line up outside and try just to upset us so much and destroy the structure of the church. But what he has done in these end time is that he had put pressure on us not to destroy the structure. We've still got pastors. We've still got evangelists. We've still got choirs. We've still got musicians. We've still got a Sunday school hour. We've still got Wednesday night prayer meeting on paper. Amen. Come on and help me here for a minute. On paper, we've got everything that we've ever had. We've got the same structure. We've got on paper. We look just like we did 50 years ago. He's not going to destroy the structure. But what he is going to do is, while the structure is intact, he is going to put pressure on the church. He is not going to quit. He is not going to get tired. He is not going to go out of business. I don't care how many prayer meetings we have. I don't care what we do. He is going to exert pressure and pressure and pressure. But oh, glory to God. The word of the Lord tells us that it is not by might, that it is not by strength, but God said it is by my power. It is by my spirit. That's why the end time church, it must have more power of the Holy Ghost and not less. We cannot afford just to go through the motions. We cannot afford to be content and say we've got structures. We've still got Sunday school. We've still got Sunday night church. We've still got a choir. We've still got musicians. The devil doesn't care about any of that. He is putting pressure on the people of God. And when they relax, he takes a greater hold. And then it may go on for about 6 months, a few weeks. It doesn't matter. But then when they relax again, can. He grabs hold of that, and he is squeezing the life out of young people. He is squeezing life out of marriages. He is squeezing life out of the people of God. He is squeezing life out of the church of Jesus Christ. But oh God, in this end time, I don't want to deny the power thereof, but it's not enough just to go through the motions. And let me be honest tonight, some of you are just going through the motions, and God bless you for your faithfulness. God bless you for just being faithful. But friend, it's not enough just to show up on a Sunday night. It's not enough just to say, I gave a dollar in the offering. I come in this house tonight, amen, to find somebody that would say, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I would to God that every man, woman, boy, or girl, every person in this place would go to shouting and dancing in the power of the Holy Ghost. The only answer I know for the spirit of the python is the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The only answer is the spirit of the living God. I say, God, breathe on us tonight. I say, God, breathe on us tonight. The spirit of the python, he puts pressure on the congregation, and the pressure causes the church to relax. And so then we say, well, at least we have a platform standard. Where did that platform standard come from? Because we couldn't keep it in the pew. The pew relaxed. And so he grabbed hold of it. We say, well, at least we've got it on the platform. But then the platform relaxes. And then someone says, well, at least our leadership is clean. It is a natural progression. Hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. We are following the same path that other Pentecostal holiness movements have followed. And that is the pew compromise first. Then it worked its way to the platform. And then it worked its way into leadership. And then it worked its way into preachers. It was the spirit of the python that squeezed the very life out of them. But I say, God, I refuse to go the way of the grave. I refuse to lose the power of God's spirit. I refuse to lose the anointing of God. I refuse to let this world bury us and let the pallbearers carry out the holiness movement like they have done other movements. The Nazarenes that used to shout and speak in tongues and dress like we did. The Methodists that knew about holiness, the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, that stood against the wedding band, that stood against mixed swimming, that stood against movies, that stood against television. But the spirit of the python, the Pentecostal holiness movement out in Franklin Springs, Georgia, that stood against jewelry, that stood against double marriage, that stood against the things of this world. They preached against the roller rinks, they preached against the ball teams. They preached against the movie theaters, but the devil will not quit. And the spirit of that python, it squeezes and squeezes. The answer is not more degrees or more sermons. The answer is his power, his spirit, his anointing. Let the power of God, let it fall in our heart and in our life. Woo! The end time church will deny the power thereof. They'll have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. They'll go to church, but they'll do it without the power of the Holy Ghost. They'll sing, they'll shout, they'll believe in the gifts of the Spirit, they'll believe in salvation through the blood, they'll believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, they will just not experience it.
They will just not practice it. They'll believe it on paper. They just will not apply it to their life. They'll believe it in their head, but they will not have it in their heart. They'll argue that they still believe it, but services will go by and nobody will get saved. They'll blame it on the day that they're living in. The worship will decrease. Revivals will cease to exist. They'll blame it on the society they live in. But brother and sister, this church was started under the hand of persecution. It was birthed out of the pangs of persecution. In Acts chapter number 2, a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. I'm not worried about what's out there. I'm not worried about the persecution that will come from without. I'm worried about the complacency and the lukewarmness that is within the church. One verse. Obedience we want to compare our sacrifices. Well, I go to church 3 times a week. I do this, I do that. I this, I that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience to Him. Obedience to His Word. Obedience to the Spirit of God. Obedience to the man of God. Obedience to the will of God. There's a correlation to someone that will not obey Him and why the Spirit of God passes them by. There's a reason you're struggling with the spirit of the python. Maybe you let him in your house. Maybe you let him in your heart. But you feel that pressure. You feel that pressure during song service. You feel that pressure day in and day out. It's 10, 20 times, maybe 50 times harder to pastor now than it was when I started 11 years ago. Without fail, almost daily, there's pastors calling, looking for some hope. Looking, what's going on? I'm talking about men that have pastored the same church, men that have pastored longer than I've been alive. What's going on? We've never seen it like this. We're fighting different spirits than we've ever fought before. Their words, not mine. It's not adding another choir selection. It's not trying to form another trio. The answer is not ordering a new Sunday school curriculum. The answer, we need more of His power. We need more of His Spirit. We have learned how to do it. We've been singing the same song. We're 3 and 4 generations deep now in the holiness movement. We know when to raise our hand. We know how to stand up. We know how to move and look like we're having church. But when the service is over and the final amen is sounded, we know that we're going back to our cars and we've not been changed. We've not been stirred. We've not been baptized with fire. We know we have not encountered the Spirit of God, and that python is squeezing harder than he was last week. And I'm saying, oh God, enough is is enough. Enough is enough. Let grandma and grandpa, let mom and dad, let the people of God begin to stir themselves and shake themselves. We've got singing, we've got good buildings, but we need the power of the Spirit of God. If we don't, my God, that python is going to squeeze the life out of you. Why so much trouble with worldliness? Why so much trouble with the sins of the flesh? Why so much trouble with people not being able to live consistently for God? Why a lot of people like this? Because we know how to do it. I mean, hit. We shall see the King. Hit a chorus of it in full force, fast as you can go. I'm going to tell you. Does that do anything for you right there? I mean, that makes... And then we turn our preachers into cheerleaders. Come on, come on, we need to worship God. Come on, he's here, hallelujah. He's here, give him praise. And the whole time, I'm not talking about the whole church, but I'm telling you the spirit of the python that carried out the church of God, that carried out the Pentecostal holiness. My God, maybe you don't fear him, but I do. I fear that spirit of lukewarmness, that spirit of complacency. I've given my life to the gospel. I've given my life to the church. I hate the devil. I hate his sin. I hate his tactics. I want the power and the glory of God. And God has promised that he would pour out his spirit and give us a revival. But I'm watching the church sit around and twiddle their thumbs. And the devil is squeezing like a python. Maybe you don't feel this pressure. I do. I feel his slimy grip when you try to preach about the sins of this day. I feel his pressure. Leave them alone. At least they're here. At least they're coming. Be thankful. They don't have to be here, you know. Sunday night, at least you've got a crowd to preach to. Just be thankful. Don't upset them too bad. They'll go somewhere else. And I'm thankful for every one of you. But I also understand that if that trumpet sounds tonight, I'll give an account for every word that I have ever preached from behind that pulpit. I don't expect you to understand that. I don't expect you to carry that weight. But I'm telling you, that weight is burdensome. And I'm willing to fight back against that python. I'm willing to preach against complacency. Maybe you're content to compare yourself with the church somewhere else in this city. I want to compare myself to what God said we should have in the end time. You help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. Maybe you're content to compare yourself with Aunt Sally that lives like a harlot and still goes to church. Maybe you compare yourself with Uncle Billy who smokes 3 packs a day and he's a deacon over at the other church. I'm not comparing myself to anybody else except this book tells me about what I should have. It tells me about the blessings that I should have. It tells me that in the last days. I'd have power with God. It tells me the end time church ought to be on fire for God. We ought to have an outpouring of the Spirit of God. It tells me that complacency is not the norm. That lukewarmness, it'll kill revival. It tells me that worldliness and charismaticism is wrong in the sight of God. It tells me to be saved by the blood. It tells me to be sanctified. It tells me to live right, to be holy. It tells me to expect miracles. It tells me to look up. Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, how do we compare? Nothing wrong with that movie you watch, but I'm going to tell you, I pray the next time you watch it, you feel that disgusting pressure of the python that squeezes the life out of you. The next time that when you get down on your knees to pray and all you can think about is the things of this life, you rise without getting a hold of God, I pray you feel the cold, slimy, calloused attempt of the devil to squeeze the life out of you. Next time when Wednesday night rolls around and you decide it's only a Wednesday night, it's not that big a deal anyway, I pray to God that you're so sensitive in your conscience that you feel the disgusting pull of that python as he begins to wrap himself around you and squeeze, and the haunts of hell telling you you're going to backslide, you're not going to make it. I resist him. Rebuke him. I take authority in the name of Jesus Christ. We're the only church in Chatham County that believes in holiness. It's not going to change my mind. You say maybe we are. I don't care. I don't care if we become the only church in the state of Georgia, in the southeast part of the United States. I don't care if we become the only church in the United States of America. I compare how they live. They don't have what we have. If they're so spiritual, they can't get their people back on Sunday night. That's why you work with some of them and they drink. They cuss, they smoke. They live just like the world. They don't have what we have. I said they don't have, but we don't have a monopoly on it either. We don't have a monopoly on it. If we don't cherish it, if we don't honor it, feel that python. Feel him squeezing you right now. That's why you can't control your music selection. You don't have the strength anymore. I'll tell you how the python works. It's just one piece of jewelry. It's no big deal. Whew. Relax. He squeezes. Then you try to fight. Say, well, one on the left, what's one big deal with one on the right? Relax. He squeezes. Well, what's the difference in one on my finger and one on my ear? And he began to squeeze. What's the difference if I got them on my fingers and my ears, put one around my neck? Put one in my toe. Put one in my kneecap.
Put one in the top of my head. Squeezing the life out of the church. Every time you relax, you squeeze. Every time you relax, he is insatiable. He is untiring. He seeks about who he may devour. Just relax. I can't afford my tithes this week. And he's got you. And he begins to squeeze. What are you going to do about it? I can't get you out. Your spouse. The choir can't sing you free. Oh, camp meeting will be here in 6 weeks. Camp meeting won't make it happen for you. We need his spirit more now than ever before. Sometimes I get such crazy thoughts in my mind that God, really, instead of coming to church and preaching, we ought to just come and pray until everybody prays through to the Holy Ghost. And that's about the only way we're going to make it. It's a pretty wicked world. It's a pretty wicked world right now. And if you think coming in, just saying a couple hallelujahs, almost like a couple of Hail Marys, and just leaving the same way, that python has squeezed the life out of you. You feel him? You feel him? You let him in, now you don't know what to do. And not only you, now he's wrapping himself around your children. And you let him in. You said it was just something innocent. But you let him in. And now they're telling you things that you don't like. He's squeezing. He is squeezing. What are we going to do about it? What is the church of Jesus Christ going to do about it tonight? I've decided I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. I'm not a bit discouraged. Matter of fact, I am probably more encouraged than I've been in a long time. I've prayed myself happier more recently than any other time in my ministry. And I think there's enough power in this building tonight that if you want free from the python, we can get you free. Hallelujah. I believe you can get back to the spot where you're not just going through the motions. But when you lift up holy hands, you feel the power of God radiating in your heart. That you're not talking about what used to be. You're talking about what is right now. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we ask or think. Now. It's going to be an odd altar call right now. Because you're going to have to tell somebody, I've been wrestling with that python, and I'm tired of him. I've been wrestling him in my thought life. I'm tired of him. We've been wrestling him in our marriage. We're tired of him. We've been wrestling him in parenting. We are tired of him. I have been wrestling him in my date life, and I am tired of him. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What are you going to do about it? I'm telling you, this is the end time spirit right here. The spirit of that python. He wants you to relax. He wants you just to relax just a little bit. You don't have to live that tight. You don't want him to be rebellious. He just wants you to relax a little bit. And when he feels you relax, he is squeezing the life out of you. And you're willing tonight to stand up in this building and say, I want victory. I want to break free from the spirit of that python. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please.